And her mother's in the kitchen cooking a batch of cookies. And she gets through and she puts them in a big cookie jar and she says, "Now, Becky, these cookies are for Sunday. Keep your hand out of the cookie jar." And an hour later, she walks in the room and catches you up to your elbow in the cookie jar. What might your mom do, have done to you? Yelled at you. Yeah. Yelled at you. Somebody's in here, their mama would have. Right? I told you to keep your hand out of the cookie jar. Okay? She just learned the first premise in her life. When somebody bigger than you tells you to do something, you better do it because they can hurt you, can't they? And you learned that. You didn't think about it, did you? You didn't have to think about it. Matter of fact, let me show you how well you learned it, Becky. You got a younger sister, 3 years old, and an hour later you catch her with her hand in the cookie jar. What would you do to her? You would yell at her. Where did you get the yelling from? God? From your mama. You understand? How many of you in here know you're just like your mama? Or like your dad. Ben, folks, don't get too hung up on that. You're just like the people around you. You don't have any other choices till you wake up. You're just like the people around you. Okay? So most of us, Becky probably thought, "Boy, I've really been doing a good job." You've been doing the only thing you knew to do, haven't you? Hadn't worked at it a bit, have you? That's right. It was just all you knew to do. So the person in here that's making A's, it's all they know to do. And the person in here that's making F's, it's all they know to do. Isn't that an awesome thought? What I'm going to do with you is I'm going to go down a list of self-evident truths, and I want you to decide if they're truth in your life, if they are what your decisions are made from. Now remember, maybe until I talk about them, they've been totally unconscious. They've laid there and you didn't know about it. But you can look at your life and tell, yes, that's exactly the way I act. And for the first time in your life, you're going to know that I've got something down in my mind that I have no control over. And it wasn't put there by me. It wasn't because I decided it was good. I just got it by convention. It was given to me and I said, yes. The Mexican-Americans in here love tortillas, don't you? Yes. You think it's because you had a choice between a tortilla and a biscuit? No. You understand? You didn't have a choice at all. Bless God, Mama made tortillas. And I ate buttermilk biscuits. Isn't that something? And we thought tortillas were the best. And I discovered they were all good. Look at me. I've been trying it all and I like it all. Isn't that something? Even good old Menudo. Oh, Lord. Look at him. And there's some folks in here, if we told them what it was, they'd throw up. Well, I'm not eating that soup we're having at lunch. They may have that in it. You understand? Now, here's what I don't lay all of this on. I'm not doing any of this for you to blame anybody. I'm telling you about how mankind is and how we are. Do you understand? That's all I want you to do is to understand it. I don't want you to deny your heritage. I don't want you to deny your culture. I don't want you to deny your parents. I want you to know why you've got your culture and somebody else has got theirs. And you'll quit condemning theirs because you'll know you didn't choose yours. There's not one person here chose to come to this country. You were born and you were here. Therefore, you're a capitalist. Therefore, you're democratic or in a democratic society. No other reason. You did not choose it. If you would have been born where people were Hindus, what would you be? Boy, y'all didn't say that. If you were born where people were Hindus, what would you be? The reason you're Christian is why? mom and daddy were. Oh, God. That gets a little rumble in the group, doesn't it? You're Christian because mom and daddy was Christian. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you down a list of first premises or self-evident truths that you learn just the way Becky learned how to tell somebody to keep their hands out of the cookie jar. Keep your hands out of the cookie jar. Those are for Sunday. Becky learned it from Mama. Some of you got your head half slapped off, didn't you? And we're wondering why young people are so violent. They learned it at home. Violence at home, folks. And violence just doesn't come in a fist. You dumb kid, you'll never amount to anything. Violence. Very violent. Can you imagine telling one of God's creatures they'll never amount to anything? They're already everything they can be. Isn't that an awesome thought? You know, we're telling them you'll never be able to earn a living as good as so-and-so down the street. And folks, I'm not talking about earning a living. I don't care whether you earn one. I'd like you to learn how to live. That's what's important. Let me tell you something. Those Somalis sit over there and starve to death with their babies in their arms. And our moms are putting them in daycare centers and going to work to buy a boat or another car. You understand? We know how to earn a living. She knows more about living. Some of you, as I talk about these self-evident truths, you're going to say, well, I don't believe that. I'm not like that. Be very careful, because what will your tongue do? It'll lie to you, won't it? Will your mind lie to you? So what I want you to do is observe yourself and see if you act like this. You hear me? I want you to sit back and watch yourself and say, am I that way? Because, see, everyone in here thinks we are normal, don't we? Normal is me. Any of you ever look at somebody else and say, they're abnormal? What are you saying, Annette? They're not like me. You understand? So here's what I'm trying to get across to you, is everybody in here is abnormal, including your teacher. The only normal human being that walked this earth was Jesus. We're abnormal. So why in the world would one abnormal person tell another abnormal person they're abnormal? Don't make a lot of sense. And Jesus said, don't judge, lest you be judged. You understand? Simple little message. Okay, listen to some of these self-evident truths. Did you learn in your home, in your school, in your city, in your state, in your nation, that you could love some people and hate others? Is that a part of your mind? Is that a foundation in your mind? You can love some people and hate others. You can love Americans and hate Iraqis. Y'all are all too young for this, but I still got to share it with you. Any of you in here watch the reruns and see the movie South Pacific? Any of you? A couple. The movie South Pacific is a classic, but it's real old. It was a World War II movie. I'm going to say the words to a song in it because they're very profound and very true. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you're 6 or 7 or 8, to hate the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. That's a song in the movie. And I'm going to tell you, young people, you have been taught to hate people. You've been taught to hate somebody. And if Jesus is God, he says you cannot get love and hate out of the same heart. If you hate an Iraqi, how do you feel about your parents? If Jesus is God, that's the question we're trying to answer. Do you believe that he is God? Do you believe that he had a perfectly normal human mind? Have you been taught to be prejudiced against certain people? Huh? Think about it. I just want you to think about it. And folks, there's all kinds of ways to be prejudiced. Do you notice how you hang together in groups that dress alike in school and the people that dress differently are outside the group? Do you notice how the slender, perfect body people hang around together and those that are fat are outside the group? You got to be taught before it's too late, before you're 6 or 7 or 8, to hate the people your relatives hate. You got to be carefully taught. It is not natural to do that. It is learned. Especially in our world today where a TV, everybody that drinks beer has got a perfect body. Everybody that smokes a cigarette has got a perfect body. Everybody that wears the right clothes has a perfect body. What a horrible sickness. Sick, isn't it? And we've been taught, bless God, there's people sitting in this room right now that will not hang around with somebody fat. Or somebody different than them. Somebody a different color. And some of you be saying, yeah, boy, I've been treated like that. Well, how did you feel about us gringos? You remember, you got to be taught before it's too late. Everybody's taught this, young people. You were taught it. How hard is it to like people that make bad grades? Dumb klutz. You don't hang around them. You know, there's the nerds and the turds. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You see it all the time. You know, the jocks hang around together and the, what do you call those other guys now? What? Geeks? Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. All of these names are prejudices that you have. You learn. Do you know 3 characteristics of a Christian? You return love for hate. You include the excluded. And you can always admit you're wrong. Are you good at including excluded people? Are you good at admitting you're wrong? Or, I can't ever admit I'm wrong. We learned that at home too, didn't we? Has our mom and daddy ever looked at us and said, you know, kids, I'm wrong. Your choice may be better than mine. Folks, I have come to the place where I do that with my kids. My kids, there's times they make choices a lot better than mine. I don't have the guts to make the choice they make. And I like their choice. How about this as a first premise, an eye for an eye? Is that a part of the way you think? When your sister steals your pantyhose, do you get even with her? That's an eye for an eye. When your boyfriend slam dunks you for some other girl, do you get even with him? Sometimes even on your knees. Oh, God, get even with that sucker. I've been embarrassed. You understand? We pray wrongly, asking for our own selfish desires. Why don't we pray like this? Oh, God, help me to like that guy even though he slam dunked me. Huh? How about you guys? When somebody does something bad to you, do you do good to them or you get even with them? See, that's self-evident truth, and you don't even have to think about it, do you? Somebody put something smelly in your locker, I'm going to get even with that sucker. You understand? You do understand, don't you? You live in houses where you're always getting even. Do you hear me? Sister's getting even with sister. Brother's getting even with brother. Mom's getting even with dad. Any of you ever lived in a house where dad slept on the couch one night? Mom's getting even. See where you learned it? You didn't have to think about it, did you? It's just something you learned. I watched it, and that's the way it works. Mom always gets even with dad. Dad always gets even with Mom. When Mom goes out on a spending spree and goes nuts, Dad won't give her the check next week. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You do. This is the sin of the world. Okay, an eye for an eye. How about the most fit survive? Is that one of your self-evident truths? Is the most fit survive? Yeah. The biggest and the meanest is where it's at. If I asked all of you in here who your idols in this world were, they'd be big, mean people. They wouldn't be Mother Teresa, would they? How many of you want to grow up and be like Mother Teresa? Don't raise your hand. Want to grow up and be like Mother Teresa? I want to grow up and be like Jesus and get crucified by the time I'm 33. No, bless God, I want to be like Michael Jordan and make $30 million a year. Then I could do anything I wanted. You understand? I could drive the right car and have all the clothes that I want with all the right names on the label. Right? That's what the world teaches us, isn't it? Survival of the fittest. I'll tell you what, I admire Charles Barkley. And I admire Charles Barkley because he said this. They said, "Are you a good model, Charles?" He said, "Hell no, don't look at me as a model." He says, "All I do is get even, and I'm mean, and gotta constantly be fighting somebody." Don't use him as a model, young people. He's a horrible model. And he knows it. He'd stand right here by me and say, "Amen, I'm a horrible model." Excuse me, please. Poke her eye out. How about you can get good out of people by force? How many of you will say this to your sister? "Well, if you'll do the dishes for me tonight, I won't tell on you." Parents, you know where they learned that, don't you? And it don't have to be learned, "I won't tell on you." Boy, I got moms and dads pointing fingers at each other here now. You did that. Bless God, I didn't do that. You can do it like this. "I'll mow the yard if you'll give me $5. That's coercing somebody into mowing the yard. Could we learn to cooperate with one another? Could we learn to be a family? Could we do something and get nothing in return? We're raised people where they don't do anything unless I get something for it. Well, what's in it for me?" You know what I'm talking about? Our church teaches you never get good out of somebody by force. The act is never a good act. It's called bribery. We'll talk more about that later. Most of us think God's into bribery. "I can bribe God. I'll do this, God, if you'll do that." Isn't that sick? That's what you call superstition. Believing that God is the way he isn't. Believing things are the way they aren't. And then doing the act trying to get what you want. It's called magic. "Yeah, I'll do this, God, if you'll do that." God don't work that way, folks. Not the God that I serve. We can kill others, but not our own. How many of you learned that? It's perfectly all right to kill some people. You just can't kill the next door neighbor. It's even all right today to kill babies, isn't it? It's all right. You know it's legal to kill an unborn baby in this country? And if I'd have told you 50 years ago that it'd be that way today, you'd say, "You're crazy." And next it'll be the old people, and then it'll be the criminal. And how many of you are going to lose relatives when it becomes the criminal? And then it'll be you and me. because I'm the wrong color, or I don't have enough hair, or I don't make enough money, or you understand? You can kill others, but not your own. Most people in this room, that's a very foundation in their heart or their mind, which I'm using as the same. How about the one with the most servants is the greatest? And y'all would say, oh no, I don't believe that. If Michael Jordan walked in this door right now, I'm through. Right, folks? Or name me somebody else. I mean, it's all over. The Christian speaker is finished. All the young people will be up and say, oh, God, I always wanted to meet you. You understand? A respecter of persons. If God's a respecter of persons, where do me and you stand? We learn this. You learned it at home. You know, when somebody pulls up at the front of the house in a big $60,000 Mercedes dressed in a $2,000 suit, mom and daddy runs to the door. Right? And when an old drunk staggers up, whoa, they run to the door and lock it and go hide in the back bedroom. You understand? You learn that. It is not natural. If you ever thought, you'd know there's something wrong with it. Probably the drunk needs you more than the guy coming up in the big car. See, and I'll tell you, it'd be natural if you weren't taught something the opposite. Good things happen to good people, and bad things happen to bad people. How many of you believe that? And Jesus says, God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Isn't that an awesome thought? Well, I thought because people had big cars and a lot of money and clothes, it's because they're doing things right. Well, more than likely, they're doing things wrong, kids. Jesus didn't have a donkey. And he didn't have two pairs of clothes. How many of us believe if we had enough money, it'd bring safety and security? And we learned that at home too, didn't we? Because we hear our parents arguing over money. Yeah, we could have a bigger house if you earned enough. We could have this if you could have that. You could go to school there if daddy could ever make a decent living. And you may not say it that raw, folks, but you say it. Think about it. And so kids grow up like you and I grew up thinking, yes, bless God, if you got enough money, you can do anything. Right? Money will make you safe and secure. You know what that is? That's believing that money will save you, because that's what salvation is, to be safe and secure. Okay? I'm winding this down. How about might makes right? Well, we learned that at home, didn't we?
Yeah.
Bless God, you learned at home that might makes right, don't it? The only reason things would run the way mom and daddy said was because they were the biggest and they had the money. Right? Might makes right. If I don't act right, they won't even send me to school. You understand? If there's anything that I've learned, young people, it's that the majority are always wrong. The majority is always wrong if Jesus is God.
Boy, y'all got awful quiet on me.
Do you know that every self-evident truth that I mentioned to you is diametrically opposed to Jesus? Do y'all know that? Jesus said, you can't get love and hate from the same heart. No more than you can get fresh and salt water from the same stream. It's an impossibility. If you hate anybody, Jesus is saying you hate everybody. And this afternoon, I'm going to talk about hatred, and you're going to get a different view of what hatred is. You may find that you hate your parents. Let me ask you a question, give you a hint. Some of you that thinkers will think a little bit. Can you get drunk on the word wine? Could you say the word wine or read it enough that you'd get drunk? You can't, can you? Well, can you love somebody with the word love? No, you can't. Saying I love you, what does it mean, Becky? It means I got vocal cords. It does not mean I love you. Any more than saying wine will get you drunk. Just because you say you love somebody doesn't mean you do. Some of y'all have experienced that, haven't you? You know there's people saying I love you, but they don't love you. I want you to look at yourself and see if you're saying I love you to people that you don't love. Love cooperates. Love never competes. When mama says wash the dishes, what does love do? It does the dishes. When mama says wash the clothes, what does love do? Love does it. But now if you've been raised in a house where everybody's been competing with one another, folks, I'm not talking about big things out there to do. I'm talking about in the family. I'm not talking about one act of being a heroine out here in some place. I'm talking about at home, cooperating with your family. And us mamas and daddies didn't know how to teach you to cooperate. That's the one request. I just got through reading a letter as I walked in here to me that said, David, please tell us how you teach your children to regulate themselves instead of us having to regulate them. The only discipline that is good discipline is self-discipline. It is never good discipline when somebody has to force something on you. The foundation of all justice comes from self-analysis, looking at your own heart. When you ask your mom to do something, do you want her to do it? Well, then when she asks you to do something, do it. It doesn't make any difference whether it's fair. Just do it. Not an awesome thought. But we don't know how to cooperate, do we, young people? Because when we were this high, mama rode us down to the baseball field to learn how to compete with people. Daddy rode us down to the football field to learn how to beat the other person up. We don't know how to cooperate with anybody. You understand what I'm talking about? We don't know how. Cooperation is the opposite of competition. And competition is evil. What if all of our self-evident truth is a lie? Y'all all hear that? Everybody perk up for 3 minutes and I'll quit. What if all of the self-evident truth that's in your life is a lie and your logic works perfect? Then every time somebody does something to you and your logic works and you reach a conclusion, what's the conclusion? A lie. If the self-evident truth that you start with is a lie, and your logic works perfect, even it works with all the group, and y'all all agree, yeah, that's the right conclusion. But if the self-evident truth in your life is a lie, your conclusion's a lie. See, I'm not talking about telling a lie. I'm talking about living one. When somebody does something bad to you, you get even. That's living a lie. When mama says, do this, and you say, oh, crap, I did it last time. It's her turn. That's living a lie.
You understand? I'm not talking about telling lies. I'm talking about being a lie. Being a lie. Our whole life. What's in it for me? Do you know that's not Catholic? Catholics think like this. I'll do what's best for the group. How do you live? Do you do what's best for the group, starting with your home? Or do you do what's best for me? One of them's a Catholic way to look at the world. The other's the world's way of looking. What's in it for me? What will it cost me to do it that way? Will I be uncomfortable? You understand, young people?